Historically, Medicare's outpatient prescription drug benefit, Part D, has prohibited coverage of drugs used for weight loss. But in July 2026, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services will launch the Medicare GLP-1 Bridge Program, which will offer Part D enrollees an opportunity to obtain GLP-1 medications for weight loss or weight maintenance. I'm Stephen Morrissey, Managing Editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, and I'm talking with Stacey Doucet-Cina, a professor of health policy and of cancer research at the Vanderbilt University School of Medicine. Dr. Doucet-Cina has written a perspective article about the Bridge Program. Dr. Doucet-Cina, why has Part D not covered drugs used for weight loss in the past, and what's changed to make policymakers reconsider it?
Originally, when Medicare Part D was first passed, there was a prohibition on covering certain types of drugs that were considered more lifestyle treatments and weight loss medications in particular, and using drugs or covering drugs for weight loss was explicitly written into the law. It sounds very archaic today when you think about how science has progressed and how treatments have progressed. But in part, that was done because of concerns over unsafe weight loss medications such as Fen-Phen, which had just been pulled from the market around the time that Medicare Part D was passed back in 2003. So, in some ways, this is really related to history rather than being really forward-thinking in the way that we think about weight loss medications today. That said, this ban on coverage for weight loss has continued. And so the GLP-1 Bridge Program is one of CMS's attempts to try to provide access to drugs for weight loss for people on Medicare Part D, but it is a program that is running completely outside of the Medicare Part D benefit. So it isn't a change in policy for Medicare Part D. It is instead that the government is paying for these drugs separate from the program right now.
So, what were the original goals of the Medicare GLP-1 Bridge Program, and then how have those shifted in recent months?
So originally, CMS and the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Innovation, CMMI, had proposed to put forward a demonstration project called the Balance Model that had intended to cover weight loss medications and provide lifestyle modification, counseling, and behavioral programs in order to test the benefits of making these drugs more widely available for people with different indications that are not currently covered under Medicare Part D. So this was going to be run as an experiment on expanding the benefit and getting information about potential cost savings if we resolve people's health conditions or help them live healthier lives. Do we end up saving money downstream and preventing things like heart attacks and strokes and other high-cost conditions? So that was a program called Balance. Right now, we have seen that CMS has put Balance on hold, in part because it seemed that Part D plan sponsors, the private plans that run the Medicare Part D program, were not interested in participating in this voluntary model. So, in absence of having that program move forward, the administration decided to just make these drugs available through this bridge program. Now, the bridge program had already been conceptualized, but it was originally only supposed to go from July 1st of 2026 through the end of this year, at which point the program would transition into balance. Now the bridge program has been extended for another full calendar year, but there is not currently a plan to launch the balance model. What this basically means is that there's an end date right now for bridge, which is the end of 2027. And not clear what that would mean for Medicare beneficiaries who start taking GLP-1s under the Bridge program, whether or not they'll maintain access at the time that that program is sunset.
So, as you've said, the Bridge Program is not part of Part D. So, how will the program work and who'll be in charge of administering it?
So this is one of the things that I think is going to be a little bit complicated and may mean that you see a really slow start to use of the Bridge program for getting access to these GLP-1 drugs for Medicare beneficiaries. CMS has a plan to have these claims managed through a central processor. And they have put out some guidance for prescribers and for pharmacists about how this will work. Now, the thing that is a little bit challenging is that even today, the amount of guidance is fairly limited. And I think the awareness of the Bridge program, both by beneficiaries, clinicians, and pharmacists, is also quite low. So it will take some time for people to get used to this. Now, CMS has provided some instructions for prescribers that walk through what the process will look like. And I think one of the things that becomes kind of immediately evident is that it is not that straightforward. So you would be submitting claims to your pharmacy as you normally would, and they would then need to be able to screen the claim and determine, or send the claim on to CMS to determine if it would go to the Bridge programs. Then CMS would have the pharmacy deny the claim and then resubmit a prior authorization from the prescriber. This is going to be kind of a multiple step process. And one of the things that is, I think, going to probably be difficult for everyone involved is teasing out what is a Bridge covered prescription and what is a Part D covered prescription. So Bridge is only intending to cover prescriptions that do not already have coverage by some Part D plans. So, for example, if your patient is taking a GLP-1 already for a covered indication, they would not be able to go through the Bridge program to get that drug, even if it would be much less expensive for them to do so. And I think another thing that's going to be a little bit challenging for the beneficiaries and for their clinicians are that if you have a need for the GLP-1 drugs, but it is already a covered indication on some plans. Even if your plan does not allow you to fill the drug, you can't go outside of your plan and get the drug through the Bridge program. So I think there's going to be quite a bit of a learning curve for everyone involved about how to get access to these drugs and who's appropriate for the Bridge program and who would have their claims covered under Medicare Part D.
So who's going to be responsible for navigating between those two areas of coverage? Is that up to the patient?
This is really going to be up to the patient, the clinician who wrote the prescription, and the pharmacy. And I think this is one reason that I would anticipate that there will be quite a slow start is that even educational materials that would prepare all of these groups for processing the prior authorizations and processing the claims, like all of this information is coming out relatively late. So theoretically, you could start submitting claims to the Bridge program on July 1st of this year. I'm not sure how many will successfully get through that early, but if you were a very activated patient and you had a great clinician on your side who's been trying to get these drugs for you and an engaged pharmacist, maybe you get through those initial hoops to get access to your drug. Now, the good news is once you have gotten through all those approvals for your first fill, you shouldn't have to do them again as long as the patient stays on that particular drug for the indication that's been approved. So, at least once you get over the initial hump, you should have relatively consistent access from there out.
You mentioned the downside of launching the Bridge program without the larger Balance program, and therefore the fact that it will end at this stage at the end of 2027. Are there other downsides?
Yeah, I think that one of the key downsides in my mind is that the Balance program had other components to it that included behavioral counseling and lifestyle counseling components that I think can be very supportive for people who are starting these medications for weight loss in particular. And so, not having those wraparound services, I think, is really going to put people at a bit of a disadvantage for making sure that they are moving forward with these drugs in a way that's the most supportive for themselves and their long-term health. In general, I think the spending implications for this type of model, the Bridge program, it is not clear where the government is extracting the funds to pay for this pretty substantial expansion of coverage of these medications. So it is not something that they're going to be taking from the Medicare Part D plans, but it doesn't mean that it won't affect the spending on Medicare more broadly and potentially could have some upward pressure on the premiums in the Medicare Part B program, so the medical benefit. So I think that there are some questions that people have, I certainly do, about how this gets covered and then what is the long-term plan. So that long-term plan question is very important because we know that many people need to take the medication chronically to maintain the benefits of weight loss and the health-related benefits that are associated with that. And if you suddenly lose access to your $50 per month drug, there is this question of what happens to your health. Do you have affordable access outside of your Medicare program, outside of the bridge model? Many people do not. So let's say you needed to go and pay cash for your medication after the bridge program ended. Currently, those prices are more like $350 a month, which is not really an affordable amount of money for most people on the Medicare program.
Finally, how could CMS use data gathered from this program to support future policy making? What kinds of outcomes will be important for it to track?
Yeah, this is a great question. And I think there are a couple of things that I'm looking to for their data collection. One is that I worry a little bit that the lack of information about the bridge model and the slow start for patients and for prescribers may mean that plans and the government have less of a realistic expectation about how expensive it would be to cover these drugs more fully and cover all of these indications under Medicare Part D. So, what I hope is that they, after people become more aware of this model, we get to a sense of how much demand there really is for the use of these medications for weight loss and those indications specifically. And we can project better what the potential effect would be on the Medicare Part D benefit and premiums and spending. The other thing that I think that CMS has the opportunity to do with the Bridge program is to be very intentional about assessing where are there opportunities for potential savings and health benefits, and who's most likely to benefit from insurance coverage for the variety of indications that would be part of this expansion. As your listeners likely know, the indications for these medications range from having obesity with comorbidities to having overweight and prediabetes on the kind of earlier end of the spectrum, in which case we expect that maybe the more clinically advanced group may have more cost savings to the Medicare program for having received these treatments. And we really need to understand that to think about the balance of expanding access to products under health insurance and the potential savings and implications for spending more broadly.
Thank you, Dr. Dusetsina.